Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from Sports Column in Lodo, presented by Coors Light, it's the Fan Football Pregame. Now let's go behind enemy lines and learn more about today's opponent.
All right, the great Manish Sineta, covers the Jets forever from the New York Daily News, joins us. Manish, thank you so much for your time. How are you this afternoon?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, no, thank you. We're trying to figure out who this New York Jets team is, and we're not exactly overwhelmed. Are we getting that about right, that there's potential there, but there's just nothing all that dangerous on either side of the ball?
I think that's a fair assessment. They've got some young players who could be difference makers down the line, specifically on defense. And on offense, you're obviously talking about Sam Darnold, who's making his fifth career start. So, I don't think there is a game breaker per se, really, or a game changer per se on either side of the ball. This is a team that you kind of knew was going to go through a roller coaster season because they were starting a rookie quarterback from the jump. So, being 1-3, obviously a little bit disappointing given how dominating they looked in that first game in Detroit on Monday night. But I think if you're being objective about it, this is not a playoff team.
So when you look at Sam Darnold's performance the last three games, what have you seen?
Well, he had an initial rough stretch to start your career. You know, when you're playing three games in 11 days, two of those three being on the road, that's daunting really for any quarterback, let alone a 21-year-old starting off his career. You know, statistically, he's not going to blow anybody away when you look at the numbers the past few weeks. But he has made strides, growth, things that are important to people inside the building in terms of getting a little bit more comfortable with everything he's seeing, game speed, of course. He's been taking more shots down the field in the last, I would say, game and a half. And I think, earlier in the season, the first two, three games, I think he just felt most comfortable in that intermediate short range. So that's what he was taking, even though there were guys who were open deeper downfield. And that's an encouraging sign. He obviously is going to need some help from the running game today and moving forward as well if he's going to be able to have time to take some of those deeper shots down the field.
Well, I'm curious from a Jets perspective, when you look at what home games that we you can win this year, how did the Jets perceive the Broncos?
Look, I think when you think about the Broncos across the league, the first thing you think about, the first person you think about, and rightfully so, was Von Miller. And I know that Miller statistically hasn't done, that much, or isn't, the Von Miller we're accustomed to seeing over the last 2 weeks after that dominating performance in week one. But, there's always a healthy amount of respect for that defense statistically. I know they're not top five or top 10, whatever they are, but anytime you have Von Miller and a pedigree player like like Chubb, I think, at least from an offensive standpoint, I know that the Jets have a great deal of respect in terms of who they're going to face this afternoon.
But you didn't bring up anybody from the Broncos offense. You didn't bring up Case Keenum. So is the feeling out there in New York that, this should be a good matchup for the Jets defense?
If they can stop the run, there's a tremendous amount of respect for the undrafted rookie, Philip Lindsay. I can tell you that, talking to people in that locker room all week. I know he's coming from your backyard, so I don't know how he's perceived out there, but he has been absolutely terrific, at least from my perspective and from the Jets' perspective. An undrafted rookie, he's just got a lot of punch in that backfield, and that 1-2 combination with Royce Freeman is certainly going to be priority one, to be honest with you. The Jets need to stop both of those guys. If they can keep Keenum in the pocket, which is not the easiest thing to do, but if you keep him in the pocket, I think they'll do fairly well, even though they're missing their top cornerback, Jermaine Johnson. So if you're looking at where the Jets could be vulnerable through the air, I think it's anybody who lines up in the slot, and primarily that's been Emmanuel Sanders. So, if anyone's going to go off in terms of a pass catcher today for the Broncos, I think a leader in the clubhouse would probably be Emmanuel Sanders.
It's funny, Manish. You have Jeremy Bates as the offensive coordinator, and then you got Rick Dennison as the offensive line coach, running game coach. Listen, man, we've seen this before. I mean, this is Denver Broncos circa 1997, and it worked in 1997, but when I'm watching tape and I'm reviewing Jets games, I'm not surprised about the struggles whatsoever, because I'm seeing the same boring, plodding offensive strategy that we've seen around here for years and years and years. Rick Dennison's one of the worst coaches we've ever been associated with, and we're just amazed that this combination even exists in New York.
Well, you know, I respectfully disagree with that. I think he's actually a highly respected offensive line coach throughout the league. If you talk to other coaches, defensive coaches throughout the league, you'll get that sentiment. But what I will say is that the Jets absolutely do need a talent upgrade moving forward, that there is no elixir in 2018. You're not magically going to drop better players into your lap. So the Jets are dealing with who they have right now for, you know, the next 3 months. And I think it's more about execution. Obviously, a zone blocking scheme can work in this league. You see it all over the NFL. So I'm not sure the scheme is an issue, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's just a combination of a lot of factors. And the most central one is that they're dealing with a rookie quarterback. So if you have a rookie quarterback, you're going to experience some growing pains. But just in terms of the run game, yeah, I think that you'll see this offseason the Jets will be making some upgrades along that offensive line.
All right, sounds good. Manish, do you do predictions? I'm not sure. If you do, I'd love to hear one.
Yeah, I do predictions. They're typically, you know, more wrong than right. But look, the Jets are a desperate team. That sounds cliched. But, you know, they're starting a three-game homestand. Denver on the road, short week. I think if you just look at, you know, those parameters, I'll say it's a fourth-quarter game without a doubt. I'd be surprised if one team blows out the other. But ultimately, I think, you know, the Jets will squeak by.
Okay, we appreciate it. Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News. Thank you, Manish.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
You know, here's the thing. And, you know, we're sitting here in Denver from a Broncos standpoint saying, you know, you look at the schedule.
Right.
If there's a road game you're going to win,
right,
it's going to be this game, right?
Right.
Here's what they're saying in New York. Right. If we're going to get some wins at home, you know, the Broncos are definitely one we got to get. You know what I mean?
It's like, right. We forget that there's another perspective.
Yes, and the perspective is, hey, this is a good matchup for the Jets.
Yes, and that's why I asked him that question. That's what I felt like. And I think his analysis is pretty good. I think it will be a low-scoring game, and it'll go kind of down to the wire. I mean, on paper, when I look at the Jets, I cannot believe the Broncos don't win this game by 30. But that never happens on the road. The Broncos have had a slightly shorter week. Come on, man. I mean, VJ's won one game on the road as the coach of the team. So, you know, we'll see. And I am definitely hesitant about certain things because this reminds me of the Buffalo game last year when we went in, you know, we're 2-0, going to Buffalo. Mike, oh, my God, it's the Bills. And Rick Dennison is the offensive coordinator. And there's no – and we got schooled.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even close. So there's – I do think the Broncos will win. But I'm not a fool in terms of not understanding what the history is of Vance Joseph in this team.
1-11 in their last 12 road games. I mean, that can really sink into a team's psyche, you know, after a while. You start, it becomes a thing. You know what I mean?
Winning
on the road becomes a thing.
I don't like historic things like, they're 7-9. You know, in October against this team that we never see since 1960, whatever. That doesn't mean anything. 1-11 with this coaching staff, with their philosophy, with the way they do things, well, that's a different story.
Is it all? No, it actually goes back to the tail end of Kubiak as well. 1-11. I mean, last 12 road games, that covers more than just
Vance. We're throwing Gary in there, too.
Well,
under the bus.
Well, it didn't. Remember, what did they end up with the last? Gary's last year, they started 4-0. They finished, 5-7 the rest of that season. So, you know, those losses started to happen at the end of Gary. They continued on through last year. So what I'm saying is that, you know, when Peyton was here, you know, this team went on the road. They still had swagger.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, this team doesn't have swagger.
Right.
So,
good point.
To think that they're going to just all of a sudden look crisp and smooth here on the road, I don't think that's the case, but that doesn't mean they can't win ugly.
Okay, so we go in with some hopeful trepidation. We're not impressed by the Jets. But then again, the Jets aren't all that impressed by the Broncos. We're live here at Sports Column, right at 20th and Blake, and there's already a nice little crowd that settled in as the Broncos kick off here in just a little bit. And I can sense there's a double dip with some of these fans coming, where it's the Broncos here at Sports Column, and it's the 100-meter walk across the street to go see the Rockies game.
Yeah.
What a sports day for not cleaning the house and doing any laundry or going grocery shopping. I mean, this is awesome today. I love it. And we're glad that you're listening to us right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. We're here at Sports Column at 20th and Blake. You can register to win $200 to Uber, a free shuttle to Mile High starting 2 hours prior to every game. And Sports Column is a great spot for the fans of the Broncos and the Rockies and the Hawkeyes. It's Iowa Hawkeyes. It's just an awesome, awesome spot. So close to Coors Field. And a good-sized crowd already here, Mike, on a pretty spectacular sports weekend. Just real quick, my son, who goes to Arizona State, flies in Thursday. Now, he's got good grades, so he can do this. Flies in Thursday, goes to the Avs home opener with some friends. Then on Friday, he goes to up to see you to hang out with friends, and then he sees ASU lose, but he still had a fun time, you know, at CU. Then that later that night, he goes to the Avs game last night as well, and today he's going with a bunch of friends to the Rockies game.
Not a bad weekend.
How about that? And I will let everybody know he is paying for it, not me. He's paying for every ticket that he's using. So, you know, thank God he, you know, worked 3,000 million hours at Jimmy John's last summer, but he's stocked things away. So pretty, you know, it's a great reflection, by the way, of what an amazing city we really have,
yep.
Right? And we don't want to ignore the great start by the Avalanche, 2-0 and looking great, way to go. So when you think of just incredible sports cities in America, Mike, this weekend just kind of epitomizes how amazing it is to be here in Denver, Colorado.
Yep, great start for the Avs, 2-0, picking up where they left off last year. So you can tell that they're hungry to take the next step. So that'll be fun to watch. And CU was ranked, 21st going in? So
they'll climb
a little bit more.
You know, CU had an interesting game because their collective record of their opponents was 1-16 before yesterday. And ASU had beat Michigan State earlier in the year, which helped CU as well. So CU's probably, a top 20 team starting the week.
Yep,
with games against USC on the road, which will be a real challenge. And then one of their toughest games of the entire year will be on the road against Washington before they pound the crap out of Oregon State.
Well, honestly, the USC game's the most important because you can lose to Washington, then get another crack at Washington in the Pac-12 championship game.
True.
So you got to make sure you win your games against your conference opponents.
That's true.
You know, so take care, and that's why the USC game's is the biggest one.
Okay. They're not as good as Washington, though. I see what you're saying. The importance level is a little bit higher there. Okay.
Plus, USC's more beatable.
So it's a must-win game.
You know how I feel about must-win games.
Let's talk about the X's and O's with Big O Orlando Franklin.
It's time for X's and O's with Big O. Here's Orlando Franklin.
Fellas, in order for the Broncos to get a win today, it's all about Case Keenum. He needs to go out there and control this offense. Him and Bill Musgrave need to look like they are on the same page. It's almost become, through the first 4 weeks of the season, that you're expecting Case to throw an interception at some point in the game. He cannot do that this week against this Jets defense. This Jets defense is a really good defense statistically on paper, but there is holes. When Case Keenum has opportunities to hit DT, Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel, whether it's Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman in the check down, he needs to hit those players that are wide open. Take what the defense gives you. Do not force anything. Do not go out there and throw another interception. You already have a ton on the year. We do not need to see another one for a few weeks, and that's how you win the game.
Case Keenum, Mike, I mean, we can say whatever we can say about a million different other things, but ultimately it comes down to Case Keenum.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I would quibble with what Orlando had to say about him and Bill Musgrave need to get on the same page. Bill Musgrave dialed up a perfect play at the end of that Chiefs game. It was perfect. It was the tight end going down the seam, the later release by Demaryius Thomas, and the safety biting on the tight end left DT with a wide open window. Perfectly designed play. The quarterback's got to make the throw.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a throw that, forget about, you don't need an elite quarterback to make that throw.
Oh, God,
you don't need a franchise quarterback to make that throw. Any competent NFL quarterback starting in the NFL should be able to make that throw. So that's on Case, and it's on Case to start making plays. There's no other excuses. He's gained a good enough running game. I think Musgrave's more than a competent offensive coordinator. it's up to Case to start making plays. I don't know whether it's a situation where he's putting too much pressure on himself to live up to the contract and the sense that, you know, he's the guy. But he needs to start figuring out, because in a league which is begging its quarterbacks to go out and put up big numbers,
yeah,
he's one of the worst in the league right now.
It's stunning. And we are talking 3 out of 4 games at home. We're not talking about some sort of crazy road trip, or we're really not even talking about opponents that are all that great. You know, maybe the Ravens are a little bit better than I thought, but in Seattle, I can't even believe Seattle's won 2 games here. We'll see with Seattle. I don't think they're a very good team. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think the Raiders are one of the worst teams. I think that was a miracle they got a win. I think it was a miracle. And now the Chiefs are legit. They've got a great battle today against Jacksonville, correct? That's who they're playing, I believe. Or not Jacksonville. Jacksonville,
yeah, Chiefs,
right?
Chiefs are hosting Jacksonville, yeah.
And then we have the Rams next week, Mike, and that's a loss. I mean, unless a miracle happens, and the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFL by... The Chiefs have a bad defense, okay, and they're still winning games. The Rams have everything. You know, they are loaded. Even without Aqib Talib, they're doing just fine. So you got to win these games, and you got to look better doing it, and you're running the ball fine. And I'll agree with you. There's only so much coaches can do. Like that loss against the coaches did everything. They did a great job. I have actually nothing critical to say about the coaching whatsoever against the Chiefs. That is on the players, Mike, right?
Yeah, at some point, and I get it. I know what fans think. You know, when things aren't going well, you want to think that there's nothing really wrong with the team that a change in coaching can't fix. Because if you have to admit that there's something wrong with the team, well, that's going to take a lot longer to fix. So it's like I started to get, I got this on Twitter as the Rockies were struggling helplessly at bat.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to fire the hitting coach. I mean, come on. You know, You know,
what's the hitting coach? Hey, Trevor, don't swing. Don't take out a 9-iron and swing that one in the dirt.
Hey, Trevor, let's make sure the ball goes at least 60 feet, 6 inches before you swing.
Do you think the current Rockies hitting coach is throwing balls 5 feet in front of the plate? Swing, Trevor. Swing, Trevor. No, of course not.
The analytics show that if you hit a ball off a hop, it actually goes for it. What are you kidding me?
All right, everybody, I'm going to show you a picture of Vlad Guerrero. We're all going to start swinging like him. The Rockies hitting coach is doing just fine.
Yes.
The Broncos coaches they did a great job, actually, last week.
You were down on Joe Woods.
Joe was incompetent, should be fired.
Well, how do you think?
He'll be the first scapegoat, by the way.
Oh, I know he will.
If they lose today, Joe Woods probably survives another week, and then we'll lose to the Rams, and he'll get blown out before the short week.
I still don't think any coaching changes happen until after that Arizona game, because then you're looking at 10 days before you play at Kansas City.
If you lost 4 in a row and you've played poor defensively, and you know VJ's already intonated that he's going to have to call the plays or some quirky sort of conversations like that. No, I think Joe Woods is terrible. Don't get me wrong.
But give me examples why. Why do you think he's terrible?
Because
Von Miller's not producing?
I see what you're going to say. I know you're going to come right back with me like the players aren't going to play.
You think Joe Woods is saying, hey, Von, go out in these next 2 games. The last 2 games they have 3 tackles combined.
I think Joe Woods had a good game, actually, against Kansas City. But I don't know who's having what influence. You know, I don't know what matters and what doesn't matter. But it took Chris Harris saying, hey, we got to disguise things better. And, you know, it sounded like Chris Harris was responsible for shifting and changing things. And I'm watching, you know, VJ make comments about, you know, what they're doing defensively. So I'm taking my cues, Mike, from that
All right, what do these guys really mean when they're saying it? Hey, when Chris Harris was part of the no-fly zone, they were all chest puffed out, bravado, swagger. Look at us. Yeah. We play man. We're man free. We match up with you. We're just going to beat you. We're going to dare you to beat us with one-on-one matchups. Yeah. We think we're better than you. And guess what? They were. But now when you hear Chris Harris say, well, maybe we need to disguise things a little bit more. Maybe we need to trick people a little bit more. You know what that's code for? We're not as good. We're not as good as we were in the secondary. Well, we can't just go out and beat people one on one. We gotta rely on a little bit of scheming and trickery and
let's
disguise.
Let's see you, Joe Woods. Defensively, you're on the road. You gotta win a road game at some point. You gotta win several at some point if you want to be a playoff team. You're facing a rookie quarterback without any significant offensive weapons. Give me one. Powell, Himinumanumanumana. I mean, what are we talking about here for the Jets? Yeah, they just do not have the weapons, Mike. Still NFL players. You should be shutting these guys down. You know what? The Jets should not get more than 10 points today, right? Maybe they figure out a touchdown somehow. Maybe they kick a field goal. Yeah, I mean,
you should not give up more than, no more than 17. 16, 17. No reason in the world, unless you're just gifting them points. There's no reason to give them up.
Now, if Sam Darnold goes out there and lights it up like he did against the Lions, and he did after throwing a pick, and the Jets had a crazy game. You know, the Jets actually have 10 defensive takeaways. 10. But 5 of them came against Detroit the first week. But that being said, the Jets at least make something happen, Mike. They have. The Broncos are doing nothing, man, in terms of takeaways.
Nothing. And I think you looked at what they did against the Chiefs, and it was a pretty sound plan. I mean, they held Mahomes in that offense in check for three quarters.
Yeah.
But where is the strip sack? Where is the fumble? You know, I was watching the Colts Patriots game the other day, and one of the Colts receivers makes a play, makes a catch, and one of the Patriot DBs comes up, and in the process of tackling him, just rips the ball out.
Yeah. Well, we saw Vaughn do that. I mean, against the Raiders.
But I need to see more of that. No turnovers last week. No interceptions. No forced fumbles. So there needs to be. They can't just be sound, I guess is what I'm saying defensively. It sounds fine.
Yeah.
But this needs to be more of a playmaking defense.
Well, I definitely agree. And we'll see. You know, this sets up to be what could be a dominant game from the Broncos. I mean, we're all being very cautious with our predictions. But in all honesty, the Broncos should win this game easily.
Ooh.
Right. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying they should, but I'm not predicting it. I'm not predicting it. Because you'd have to show me that you can do it first.
Right.
And we haven't seen it. So while they should win this game, what you think, relatively easily, we said the same thing about their road game against the Bills roughly around the same time. I don't know, Mike.
Just give me a win. I don't need it to look
pretty. You just kind of understand the repercussions of a loss here today are gargantuan. I mean, heads are either going to roll immediately or eventually.
Well, if you don't think they could beat the Rams, and there's nothing to indicate that they would next week, if you don't win this game, you are 2-4 with 4 straight losses heading into that short week against Arizona, which, when you come out of that Arizona game, does afford an organization that window of 10 days before their next game at Kansas City.
Oh, my God.
To make some significant changes.
Okay.
A Jets win today? A win against the Jets today?
Yeah. Yeah, we're on path.
Puts all that.
A win against the Jets today continues the Broncos on the path that I think they're on, which is a borderline playoff team with a big game against a struggling Pittsburgh team coming up in November, which is fine. We're looking good. And I think they'll feed off that momentum. A loss today is, Katie, bar the door, pal.
There's certain check marks along the way as to when changes could be made. One is right after the Arizona game. The other is the bye week. If you beat the Jets today, then I'm convinced that the next checkpoint that we look at is the bye week.
Yeah, by the way, the releasing and getting rid of Marquette King, too, it is a good move because it just symbolizes to the other play. Listen, Marquette King wasn't close with any of his teammates, save for maybe Shelby Harris, who he played for, and then Emmanuel Sanders pretended that he was friends with Marquette King. He wasn't. You know, Marquette King wasn't really close with anybody on this team. So it's enough of a cut during the season to give the other players the, hey, if you're not doing your job, you know, I could be next sort of thing. I like that. We'll see where that spurs them on. When we come back, special guest Brandon Stokely joins us. We're at Sports Column on the Fan Football Pregame Show on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's time for Stokely and Zach's Battle Before the Battle.
Hi, what a pleasure. Brandon Stokely with us here today, which is awesome. The battle before the battle. One thing that I definitely noted, Stoke, is that you weren't going overboard with your prediction for a Broncos win. I think you think the Broncos will win.
Right.
But you weren't going overboard like a lot of other people this week.
No, you better be careful. I mean, Sam Darnold, you look at his first ever start and what he was able to do on the road against the Detroit Lions, and they flat out manhandled the Lions. Their first three out of four games have been on the road. This is a good young football team, and you're traveling on the road, and it reminds me exactly of the Buffalo Bills game last year, where everybody's saying, how can the Broncos lose to this bad Bills team? Well, you're going on the road, you're going to East Coast, you're starting early. You better be on top of your game. If not, you will lose to the New York Jets.
Okay, based on your experience, if you say the Broncos start off 2-0, you go to a team like Buffalo, you think, we got this one, we're looking forward to the next week. Have you been on a team like, have you overlooked an opponent before?
Not a
road opponent.
No, not on purpose, but just throughout the course of the week, maybe you're like, that Jets team, they're not
or like,
good.
I got it.
We'll get this one. And then all of a sudden, you're in the third quarter, and it's like, man, this team's a lot better than what I thought they were. So that happens all the time in the NFL.
Yeah, because you can put words to it, but your thoughts are sort of a different
thing. Right.
So, okay, it's the third quarter, you're in that situation. If the Broncos are in that situation against the Jets, what's the key to overcome, perhaps, underestimating an opponent?
Well, I hope that they're not in that situation when it comes to underestimating them.
Okay.
And I think this is on this coaching staff. This coaching staff to make sure this football team is ready to play against the New York Jets like they were ready to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So this one is on this coaching staff to have them ready to go at the time of kickoff. Not in the third quarter, not in the fourth quarter. You got to be ready to play, and you got to come out with that same intensity that you did against the Kansas City Chiefs.
So we're going to learn a lot today, aren't we?
We're going to learn a lot about this football team and about this coaching staff.
What's your prediction? Give me a score for the game.
Look, I like the Broncos. I like the Broncos to get it figured out and to get back on track, get back into their winning ways. I like the Broncos 27-17.
All right. Hey, thanks for dropping by. We appreciate it. What a nice little treat. All right, Mike Evans, what do you think of Stokely's analysis there?
Well, I like it, Stoke. Always a pleasure to see you. And is he... He's really enjoying this baseball thing. Is he?
He's doing it all.
As he heads out the door here at the Sports Column. I agree with him. I like what he had to say about it being on the coaches to make sure this team's ready to play, because you play a game like the one you played against the Chiefs, an emotional game, big stage, a game that probably a lot of those guys in the immediate aftermath felt they should have won. Very disappointing loss. And now you got a short week to prepare. And how did this coaching staff go out this week? How were they able to flush that loss to the Chiefs out of their system? Not only turn right back to the focus of getting ready for the Jets, but also to, you know, get the team pumped up again for the idea that, hey, look, the whole season is still out in front of you.
Right.
So don't hang onto this one too long. So, yeah, I think it'll be good to see, because the last 2 weeks they've lost, but I didn't get the sense that they weren't into the game, right? I mean, they were ready to play.
Yeah, for sure.
The execution just wasn't there.
Right.
So I think we'll see early on. We were always wondering about the whole 11 a.m. thing. And then they went out to Baltimore. I thought they were ready to play.
Yeah.
Again, it was just a case where they had a number of situations where they beat themselves, but I didn't get the sense that they were flat, you know? So I think that's what we'll be looking to see right away. Do they come out? Are they ready to play? Are they engaged? Or do they look flat?
Right.
If they're ready to play, if they're engaged, They should beat the Jets. They're a better team.
They're showing some high school or college highlights, maybe college, of Patrick Mahomes. And one of the things
you mean legend?
Yeah, well.
The legend?
What you see out of Mahomes is an ability to get away and then make things happen, sort of that backyard, you know, football sort of stuff. You don't see that with Case Keenum, Mike. Not really. He's more of a traditional, despite his diminutive size relative, he's more of a pocket passer sort of dude. When he does try to scramble, it's just he doesn't have quite that explosiveness to get away. Mahomes does.
Yeah.
Keenum doesn't. Sam Darnold does, by the way. That's not what he's really known for, but it's inherently something they're going to be able to do at a younger age than an older age. So you've got to have your experience. You've got to have your experience has to mean something. You've got to be able to take advantage of the situations the Jets will inevitably present to you. But be careful. The one thing the Jets have done well is take the ball away. It's the one thing that they have kind of above everybody else in the league this year. But they also give it away. With their 10 takeaways, they have 9 giveaways. So to your point, too, okay, Von Miller, you know, at what point are you going to be that just total game-changing athlete? Today would be a good day.
Today would be a good day.
Today would make sense.
Because right now, the more I'm watching Von, I'm questioning how hot does the fire burn for Von.
Woo!
Right now.
That's a harsh thing to say. But we'll get into our predictions for not only the Broncos and the Jets, but also the Rockies against the Brewers. I see a couple of Brave Souls with some Brewers jerseys on. That's
you can tell who's going to the game.
Yeah.
Right now it looks like a Bronco pregame show before everybody heads over to the stadium.
Yeah, but it's like everybody can take off their Bronco shirt and there's a Rocky shirt underneath.
Right.
Yeah. So we've got a great crowd here today, which is awesome. It's just a feeling of what this is going to feel like. It's going to be awesome in Lodo today. The temperatures are supposed to stay in the 50s for the most part, and any kind of precipitation rain is predicted to come after 5 o'clock. So we'll see how the game goes. But for the most part, there were some real dismal predictions of what could happen. It looks like it's going to be pretty decent top to bottom. So we'll wrap things up. We'll give you our predictions for not only the Broncos, but the Rockies as well. And you can catch the Rockies and the Brewers in the NLDS right here in crystal clear frequency modulation on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. All right, time for our predictions. By the way, I love the fans out here today. Everybody is in such a good mood. It could be a horrible day, Mike.
No way.
I mean, I certainly hope not.
Although,
but we're set up for it could be incredible or kind of really disappointing.
Can I just say, and again, this is first world problems, but
yes,
as somebody who does a radio show at 6 a.m.,
yes,
the fact that we're getting the West Coast treatment tomorrow with the game,
yeah,
you know, the 7:40 start,
yeah, that sucks.
That hurts.
I know.
It's like the Avalanche. The Avalanche always were treated as a West Coast team, and we always get those like 8 p.m. start times in playoff hockey.
Right.
Some late nights.
Hey, it's the 8:50 tip down at Pepsi Center for the Nuggets.
Exactly.
No, that's a.
But again, it's a good problem to have.
Let's hope we have that problem. But I'll agree.
We'll have that problem.
Okay. Here we go, Mike. What's your prediction for first the Broncos, and then we'll get into the Rockies.
All right. I think the Broncos. I think they win the football game. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it'll be another low-scoring game. I do think the defense will have a strong game, mixing up and putting pressure on Sam Darnold. Can't let him get comfortable. Keep him swimming. You know, I think as a rookie, he's swimming right now. Keep him swimming in that dome of his. Offensively, look, I just can't all of a sudden think that this team's going to figure it out offensively and it's going to look smooth, it's going to look seamless. I think there are going to be some rocky moments. Wouldn't surprise me if Keenum throws another pick.
Yeah.
But I do think that they find a way to gut out a win, you know, in that kind of, you know, 19-17 type mode.
Okay, my prediction for the Broncos, you know, I'm just on 23 points for them because it sounds like 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals, you know, for life. So I'll stay there. You know, I said last week, if you want to beat Kansas City, you got to score 30 points. And really, probably 31, because I thought the Chiefs would score at least 30 points. So you, in terms of how I saw it, you actually did well. You kept a 39-point scoring team a week down to 27 points. And then you just didn't get that touchdown. You know, you didn't get to that 30. You had it.
Yep.
You had it. And you just, you know, you didn't quite get it. So I don't know why I wouldn't pick the Broncos to score at least 23 points in today's game, so I will. And then defensively, I'd like to say it's going to be like 23-10, and it's really a breeze, and it's not much to it. But I just don't see that either. So I'll go 23-20, and it may even be a, you know, less than 3 minutes to go field goal by Brandon McManus, that sort of thing. By the way, it should not be lost how great of a season Brandon McManus is having. I mean, he's been absolutely fantastic. He's been the most consistent player on the Broncos. And you do have a switch today because Colby Wadman will be holding for the kicks. Any concerns there, Mike?
All I hear from kickers is how important that whole exchange, snap, catch, hold, placement, and that. All it takes is you know, a little bit to throw it, the whole kind of, the whole routine, off whack a little bit. So I don't know if kickers are telling the truth. Then I guess it is something to watch for that, Wadman's never held for, McManus in a game. Wadman's never punted in an NFL game.
No.
So, to watch the kicking game in a game that I do think that we both think is going to be low scoring and close, they're going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to get on the same page right away. Because one thing you can say about Marquette King, he sucked as a punter. But he seemed to be doing a pretty good job with the holds. Because you're right.
McManus, you don't pay a holder $2 million a year, though,
no,
Mike.
No, you don't.
So
no, no, no. I'm not saying that you were... They should hold on to Marquette King because of the hold.
Just to let you know,
significant.
The Broncos now are paying Marquette King $1.5 million to go away.
Yeah.
And that money's guaranteed. So, out the door. Menelik Watson, money, out the door. Jad Valdir's hurt. You know, we'll see where that goes. Terrain Brock, money, out the door. Dude's not playing. Adam Jones is playing, by the way. So, whether or not you know, to me, he's just a meh sort of player one way or the other. And they did. I never really got to the bottom of it. Like, why did Deshaun Hamilton field a punt instead of Adam Jones?
Yeah, that one surprised me too, because that was a tough catch in traffic. That thing could have gone horribly wrong. I don't know. Honestly, don't have an answer for you.
I think Adam Jones is averaging like 1 yard per return right now, so perhaps that's it. But I don't care,
because I catch the ball.
That's all I'm about. And then you hand it over to your quarterback, who you've guaranteed $36 million to, in Case Keenum. And hopefully he can do something. Rockies. Break it down for me, Michael.
They'll benefit from being back at home. There's a comfort level that I think they'll feed off of. The horrible at-bats that we saw in Milwaukee I think will be better. The guys that are key, I think Charlie Blackman is absolutely key. Got to get this thing going quickly. Get this offense started quickly. Nolan's got to come through with more impact hits. It's just the way it is. And, you know, look at what Christian Yelich, their MVP candidate, did in the first couple games. Look at what our MVP candidate did in the last couple games. So our MVP candidate has to have an impact, big game, you know, extra base hits, that kind of thing. Herman Marquez, you know, he was a bit of a disappointment in the Dodger game. You know, didn't really give him much length. But he's got a ton of confidence pitching here. And you know, let's see how the Brewers handle it. You know, actually, you think about Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
They play in that nice climate-controlled stadium with
That's
the
right.
roof closed. They're
That's
coming
right.
out into some tough conditions that the Rockies are used to playing in all year long. I like the Rockies today, and we'll get on to the business of trying to tie this up tomorrow.
I suppose the most disappointing thing, if it were to happen, is that with the consistency of the Rockies pitching of late, that they don't get good pitching. The Rockies have had exceptional pitching. And it's not too much to ask a team to in a baseball game to score 5 runs to win. And you're seeing the kind of that number throughout the playoffs. Can you get to that 5 runs?
Yeah.
You know, you saw it with the Yankees and the Red Sox last night. You've sort of seen it. You've seen it throughout the course of the playoffs. These 2-1, 3-2 games are actually very unusual in Major League Baseball, Mike. So I'm fine with everything the Rockies have done pitching wise. I'm fine with the managing of Bud Black, sort of. The only nitpicky thing I have is when you have Wade Davis and you're seeing pitchers go, your best pitchers go for 2 innings in the playoffs. I mean, I'm definitely, like, I was holding my breath when Ottavino was throwing to Moustakas because I didn't understand why he didn't walk him, put in Wade Davis, and boom, there you go. You got 4 outs, and then you would try to win the game.
Yeah, and then there's also this bit about the reluctance to go to the closer on the road in a situation which your team's tied or behind.
I don't understand that
you
either.
Know, that's where the most important outs are in the eighth or ninth inning. If you want to give yourself a chance to win, and you're in a tight game, don't you want your best guy out there?
Well,
to
let me tell you,
give you a chance to
You've
win
got arguably your best pitcher in Marquez on regular rest.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Ottavino with rest. You've got Wade Davis with plenty of rest. You're fine. And I don't even know where the Brewers line up pitching-wise. They seem to be putting things together with staplers and scotch tape and clothespins.
They're starting pitchers. Yulish Chacin, career journeyman.
Right.
You know, right?
Right.
The guy they have going today, Wade Miley, has bounced around from, I think Seattle to Boston to Baltimore. I mean, he's just another arm.
They really don't.
But they have that bullpen.
They have
a lot of depth in that bullpen.
That's right. And, you know, they can throw Hader out for 2 innings if need be. They haven't even used Gio Gonzalez yet, which they've got him to use. And they've had productive production from their bullpen. So they don't care. It's a different way of doing things. Hey, get us three innings. We got another guy who'll get us two, and another guy who'll get us three, another guy who'll get us one, and, you know, we'll put it together. Once you get to the playoffs, if everybody is relatively healthy and it's working, it's working.
Let's see how these pitchers, though, for Milwaukee do. They're in an environment that is intimidating. They know about the ballpark. They know about the altitude.
Everything lines up for the Rockies, today.
And, you know, it's a little chillier. So let's see how these Brewer pitchers, who you could tell, were just pitching very comfortably with a ton of confidence at home. Let's see how they do it out here on the road. I like the Rockies to come back and even this up. Even the series up. Win the next two games.
I do, too. And then we have to go back to Milwaukee, and we'll take that as it comes.
Takes that as it comes. But yeah. I like their chances in the next two.
Yeah, it should be an amazing couple of days down here in lower downtown. All right, I'm just going back to the studio. Am I sending it to a break here, or are we going right up to kickoff? Help me out here. We're going to a break. Okay, thanks, everybody, for helping us put this together. Thanks to the folks out here at Sports Column. You can come down here to Sports Column to win $200 to Uber, a free shuttle to Mile High starting 2 hours prior to every game. I love Sports Column. They're so gracious to us. We've been here for years and years and years. So we will watch the Broncos here and then walk across the street. It's a spectacular sports Sunday where nothing is getting done at home. And then to react to it, Sandy Clough to all of it after the game with John Davis and Orlando Franklin talking specifically about the Broncos as the game's going on. And you can hear the Rockies and the Brewers and the NLDS right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.